I'm your host, Mari Riesberg. Over the past several years, I've combined my degrees in acting and somatic psychology to share my sustaining creativity techniques with performers. And now I've decided to share it with a bigger audience that includes you. I believe we are all creative, and this podcast is all about that. I'll be interviewing people from all backgrounds, ages, and creativity experiences to share just how creative we all are. Today, I'll be chatting with John Lawyer, spiritual guide and seeker. Please enjoy John Lawyer. Welcome to the Sustaining Creativity Podcast. Today I'm chatting with John Lawyer, spiritual guide and seeker. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Mari. I really appreciate you having me on.
I'm super excited to have you here today to chat about creativity and how it shows up in your life and how you got to where you are in your life today. But before we get there, maybe take a couple of minutes and let our listeners know a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
Sure. I love creativity. I love the concept of your show. It's beautiful. For me, I grew up small town, Oklahoma, and I, you know, as I was getting out of high school, I knew college wasn't for me. I joined the military. I was about a year before 9/11. And so the time I got done training and everything, got to my first like permanent duty station in Georgia, we were at war 6 months later. And so I spent as both a soldier and then later as a civilian doing the same thing. I spent about 12 out of the first 15 years of my adult life in combat zones. So Kuwait, Iraq, Afghanistan. I specifically spent 6.5 years in Kandahar, Afghanistan consecutively. So that was a pretty wild ride. And so there was all kinds of low grade, constant trauma and high grade trauma that went along with that, that I didn't really pay attention to at the time.
And, sure. Not a lot of time in those moments to pay attention to it when you're
right.
Actively in it.
Right. And that, you know, that catches up to you, and it did. So,
yeah,
you know, eventually there was a healing journey. It took a while. I kind of wandered around for a while. And then I kind of had a spiritual moment of clarity, understanding, some people call it an awakening, a couple years ago. And that was a life-changing thing. And my life's been kind of different ever since. And I started an online nonprofit digital spiritual community. And that's what I do now. That's my thing.
Cool. What is your online nonprofit spiritual community called?
It's called Kishar. It's named after Kishar, the Sumerian goddess of Mother Earth, like Gaia. So
nice. All right. Yeah. Great. I'm sure we'll talk more about that as we go. But thanks for, what a journey to go from military and the creativity that shows up in that to starting your own journey, very different from, I'm sure, the military experience.
Yeah, I think, you know, my time in the military definitely was interesting in exercising creativity. I have always asked why. I was always, and that got me in trouble in the Army, in the military quite a bit. But the why matters, right? And I think there's a lot of creativity in that. And
yeah,
and problem solving. And my job, I was a counterintelligence special agent and also an analyst. I was both. And my job was to often be a problem solver for people and to give people recommendations and sometimes tell people what to do or what they should decide to do themselves. If it was like my commander, you know, hey, you should go do this. And, you know, they would do it or wouldn't do it. That, you know, I found creativity a constant part of my job.
Yeah. I love that question. The why question, it just breeds curiosity, and that's all about creativity. And so
right.
Good for you for asking that question, regardless of how others responded and what you got into from asking that.
Right.
Well, now I get to ask you a what question. What does it mean to you to be creative?
That is a deep question, and it's a good one. I would say for me, it's being in touch with the universe, this universal oneness of everything. And it's not just being in touch with the universe, but I think it's also being open to the universe and in kind of this receive mode. Because I think there's magic out there. There's magic inside of us. There's magic that we can pull in from the universe. It's that childhood magic that we have when we were growing up, and like we're told to be magical, we're told to believe in magic before the society kind of beats it out of us afterwards, on purpose. But I think it's that, yeah, being open to the universe, being connected to the universe.
Nice. And I love that, being open and connected. And I imagine you have ways that work really well for you to be open and connected to the universe.
I do. I do some meditation that helps center and ground me so that I am more prepared to be in receive mode to what the universe is sending my way. I think it's that reflection time helps us like know that we're not always sent what we think we need, you know, or want. You know, we're sent something different. And so if we're prepared for that, then I think it makes life easier. I think it makes the creative process easier. I think you can get in your creative flow more if that happens.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, very cool. I'm so curious, just the kind of the trajectory of your life. I imagine there's been challenges and kind of the, navigation of life and
Sure.
change. And I'm curious what some of the more challenging times in your life, how did you navigate those? And what is your experience navigating challenges while holding on to the creativity?
That's a really good question too. You know, when we have challenges in life, it's I think sometimes we can lose our creativity, right? Like we get stressed out, we have anxiety, and we have all this stuff that we have to do, lifestyle day to day, all the adulting that we have to do, right? And
Sure.
that can really like I think stomp on our creativity. It can distance ourselves from it, right? So I think when I think about being challenged creatively, it's about slowing things down. And that doesn't have to be meditation. I think it can just be saying, hey, there's more time in the day than I think there is. There's time to like not multitask, but do this and then do that and then do that. Because we can't really, humans aren't really built to multitask as much as we were sold in the 90s or the 2000s, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So how do we slow down and do one thing at a time? And I think a lot of it is, all of the stuff we can do. Like, what do we really need to do? And what will we do? You know, we can do anything. And often because of that, we don't do anything because we
Right,
can do
right.
anything. So I think when we're challenged, we have to decide where we want to put our attention, our focus, and then the creativity will come back to us. It will naturally, when you give it time and space, right? It's like feeding a plant, watering a plant, giving it sun, that growth inside of us and that thing comes back.
Yeah. So other than your own kind of practice and meditation, what are ways that you come back to the creativity or to your own sense of creative self?
It's, you know, in my, just like running our nonprofit, I have administrative stuff I got to do and technical stuff, but I've got to create content. I have to create content for social media. I've got to create content for our YouTube channel, which I like to do, YouTube especially. And so it's about making sure that all the other stuff doesn't become more important than the actual intent of everything, which is for me, sharing a good message with people, sharing my journey so that people can share theirs with me. So it's about understanding why you're doing it. I think it's a and carving out the time to make that happen, you know, and not letting it, you know, if you don't have to do something, sometimes you let it slip. So you
Sure.
have to kind of remind yourself why you're doing it. Like, what's the intent behind it? Do you have a goal behind it? And so for me, it's that's kind of what gets me through things.
I love that you've changed the asking why to others to asking why to yourself. Why do I do this to keep you
Right.
motivated or in
Yeah, it's true.
alignment? Or
Yeah.
I think that's so great. I don't think we ask ourselves questions enough. So.
No, I we should have those conversations. I mean, we should have conversations with ourselves for sure.
I've said this many times on the podcast, but I'm just so struck by this piece of information and this study that they did where they like counted the number of questions the average 5-year-old asks in a day, and they ask like 140 questions. And the average adult asks four. Like, that is a huge
Yeah.
difference.
Yeah, like
Wow.
three most powerful words in the English language might be I don't know, right?
Yeah. Or why?
Or why?
Yeah. The four. There we go. We've got four. Four powerful words. But I think, yeah, the curiosity, as I was saying
Yeah.
earlier, really allows that creativity to support or to rejuvenate. And it sounds like you have a really healthy, curious side.
Most days. Yeah, most
That
days.
makes sense. Well, thinking back to your own early days, what's your earliest memory of being creative?
I loved the talk about childhood. It's a magical place, right? I used to take things apart all the time. Anything, I think you take everything apart. And I used to figure things out. I think I was a critical thinker even as a young child. My cousin, I think, walked up to my dad once and he said, John sure figures things out. And that's what I did. That was my job. Like, that's what I thought I was supposed to do, is like figure things out. So
Yeah.
I think that's creative, right? It's like figuring out the world, or figuring out how something works, and what it's all about. So yeah, I think that was probably some of my earliest memories, is like taking things apart, figuring things out, figuring situations out, all that kind of stuff.
Nice. What were the things you were taking apart? And did people
I
have
take
a
apart
problem with you taking them apart?
no, my dad would usually make sure that I had things to take apart. So like televisions, or like old TVs, or radios, or electronic, all kinds of electronics. I took a big all kinds of electronics, and some like physical things. I can't remember exactly what it was, but then I started to build things too, and that's a memory where I
Yeah.
would take my dad's tools and make something for my grandma, or make something, and I built things with my hands. It was this cool
So
thing.
I'm curious how those early creative beginnings still show up in your adult experience today, from taking things apart to building things. Do they show up? I guess is the question.
No, they do. Yeah. I always wanted to do something where I could figure things out, where I could use, I value creativity so much. And you wouldn't think, I didn't know, understand at first when I went into the army and did counterintelligence and did counterterrorism, like that it would be that much of a creative process. But
Yeah.
it was, because there's, people are so set in their ways, but if you can find a different way to do something, you find better answers. You can really excel. And the one thing about the I appreciated about the army is, like, you kind of get out of it what you put in, and I kind of put myself fully into this thing. And so I was able to contribute in a meaningful way for myself that meant something. And it was a very creative process. It was doing things in a way that wasn't always, the things weren't always done, like carving my own path
Yeah.
out of whatever.
I love making those connections from like early creative experiences and how they keep showing up in our life and we keep them alive.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely.
It's so cool. I mean, I think it's a beautiful thing when people don't believe they have creativity in their life now, how those connections are made.
Well, yeah, I think one of the things I did is, when I went in the military, before I went in, I was kind of this laid back guy. I was very chill, missed a lot of high school, very not the person you would expect to be in the U.S. Army. And so I told myself, I said, before you go in, don't lose the mat, don't lose yourself, don't lose your magic. Like, I set
Yeah.
myself down before I went in to basic, and I was like, don't completely change. Now, I had varying degrees of success with that, but I do believe, like, a certain essence of my magic inside was kept intact. And that's that childhood magic, that creativity.
Yeah, I love it. So being that, in today's world, you have your nonprofit, and there's, I'm sure, so much that goes into running that and producing content. I'm so curious, who or what is inspiring you in your life these days?
This is one of the most important things for me, is I really subscribe to everyone living their higher purpose, their dharma. Like, I think it's unique to each person. I think it can change throughout our lives, but like what do we want to like do that is so exciting that we can't wait to go to sleep and wake up and do it again, right? Like, and if we're not doing that, at least as part of our life every day, it doesn't have to be our job. It's really good if it is your job.
Sure,
And
yeah.
but if it's not your job, it's got to be outside of your job. If you're not doing that every day, you're probably not going to be as joyful and happy and peaceful and calm as you can be. So for me, that motive, that inspiration is living my purpose, my dharma, my higher purpose, and saying, I want to help people help themselves find their wholeness and share journeys. And so if I'm doing that every day, that's inspirational. That's so living your, I think living your higher purpose is this thing that is this inspiring thing that can kind of really align your mind, body, soul, and kind of shape your life.
Yeah. So how did you come to the conclusion that this was your higher purpose, that what you are doing now, it matches that, right? In this iteration of life.
Right. For, you know, for me, it was when I kind of had my spiritual moment of understanding or clarity, I kind of was like, oh, my higher purpose is to go do this, to help people help themselves, to, you know, yada, yada. And I kind of saw it. And I, you know, I talk with people about this quite a bit. Like if you, and I think most of us, my, some, a lot of us don't know what our higher purpose is if we don't think about it. And so it's like, oh, okay, well, how do I find that? Right. So like, yeah, stop and be like, well, what do I love to do? What lights me up? What do other people say lights me up when I'm doing it? What can I not wait to go do the next day? All that stuff. Like we have to ask these questions, and I think we can get really quickly get an essence of what it is, and then we can further explore it, and then decide, hey, is this aligned with what I'm doing every day in my life?
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. And so that's kind of how you support other people to find their own or connect to it through what
Sure,
lights them up or.
exactly. I think I absolutely believe like I part of my higher purpose or dharma is to help the other people find theirs, like show them that the it's there. They just got to kind of look down and see it. That light is there.
Nice. Well, it sounds like you have quite an extensive community of people in your life from varying things that you've done and experiences that you've had. I'm so curious, how does your community impact or influence your own creativity?
You know, I think we're very communal beings, humans, and we're very, I think we're a bit tribal as well. I think that's okay. We got to pick good tribes and positive tribes, but
True.
and not bad tribes. But I think community is everything, really. Like it's, I think sometimes our journey is going to be lonely. We're going to walk through the desert by ourselves every now and then. But I think for the most part, our journey can be this warm communal thing where we're helping others are helping us, we're helping other people, and it's there's a reciprocity, right? There's this two-way street of give and take, and this beautiful thing where we're sharing. And creativity is one of those things that in a communal environment takes on its own like life form, because then my creativity combined with other people's creativity, I don't think that's like two times as powerful, right? That's like 10 times as powerful, right? And then that starts to have this compounding effect. And so that's why it's so important about what community you're in, who you surround yourself with, and all that.
Yeah. No, it's I understand what you're saying about the creativity doesn't, with two people, it doesn't go from one to two, but one to 10,
Right.
and continues to grow the more people who are participating in that creative endeavor or creative opportunity or idea or yeah, it's that magic you're talking about in
Yeah.
my world, at least that's
No,
what I would call it.
it is. It is magic. And 'cause I think creativity, like wait, I'm a spiritualist, but like creativity is spirituality, right? It is this like this essence of our, I don't know, where does creativity come from? When you stop and think about that for a second, like where does creativity come from, right? Like you ponder that. That's the universal topic. That's like a because we get in these everybody, all artists or creators or problem solvers driven professionals, whatever, everybody uses creativity and they get in these flows where suddenly stuff just flows out of them.
Right.
Like, where does that come from?
Yeah. It's a really cool space that's hard to hold on to sometimes.
It's the best, right?
Yeah. People that seeking the flow state or that experience. Yeah. I mean, that's a really, that thought, like, where does creativity come from, or how does it flow, or how does it inspire? Or, and I think,
right,
like the definition of creativity, there would be so many answers to it. I don't think there
right.
could necessarily be an one agreed upon
right.
Where does it
for
come
sure
from.
Exactly.
Yeah, but definitely a fun conversation to have with people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you're working with individuals who may not feel like they're not creative, or they're not understanding something or getting what it is you're sharing, how would you encourage others to find creativity in their life?
I think the first thing people can do is kind of like love themselves, because I think self-love really calms you down. It centers you. It takes you to a place where, oh, okay, suddenly the world makes more sense.
Yeah.
And that goes back to, then you can say, well, now what do I love doing? And that goes back to that kind of our Dharma or higher purpose, right? Like, what do I love doing? Like, what, because we do all this stuff that society has told us we have to do, right? You got to go like put a suit on and get a job or go to school. And, you know, like, there's all this stuff we can do that we don't realize we can do because we're told to kind of ignore that, you know? So it's like, walk your own path. Because if you're saying, well, I've got to do this because of my spouse, my kids, or my whatever, like, if you're not happy, they're not going to be happy. So
right. There's
give and take. It's a complex issue. But like, how are you living what you love?
Ooh, I love that question. How are you living what you love? My goodness. Write that down, listeners. Ask yourself. Journal on it later. Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for everything you've shared with us. And I just have one last question.
Absolutely.
What does it feel like in your body to be creative?
It feels peaceful and calm. And it also is a little exciting at the same time.
I love it. I love that little glimpse into someone's physiology and somatic experience of creativity. So thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. If people want to learn more about the work that you do, the things that you have out in the world, how could they go about doing that?
Sure. Our main website, the entrance to our community and our one-on-one spiritual guidance and coaching stuff, is at kishar.org. It's kishar.org. And that's also got our socials, and it's got a link to our YouTube channel, which is pretty cool. So check us out.
Sweet. I will add that to show notes so people have easy access. And thank you again, John, for taking the time to chat with me. I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation.
Yeah, you too. You're a great host. I love your show.
Oh, thanks so much. Thanks for listening to the Sustaining Creativity Podcast. We'd love to keep in touch, so follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We are at Sustaining Creativity. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Tag your friends and family so they can listen too. We love to hear from you, so leave your reviews, comments, and questions. Check out our website, sustainingcreativity.com, for upcoming offerings and creativity coaching. Tune in Tuesdays for our next episode. And remember, with creativity, anything's possible.